Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Chris Vandercook. Good morning, Kathy.
Nice to get out of my usual morning routine.
It's good to have you just sitting in for Beth Ann this week. We've got a topic of conversation that's been on a lot of people's minds in the past week. Some actions test our capacity to forgive, and few recent events have challenged that capacity, like the killing last week of 9 churchgoers in Charleston, South Carolina's Emmanuel African Methodist Church. Family members of the victims have offered their forgiveness to the killer, but many have said they're both unable and unwilling to take that step. Are they losing some of their own humanity as a result? The Reverend Walter Brownridge, Dean of the Cathedral of St. Andrew, is a former federal prosecutor as well as a former canon at St. George's Cathedral in Cape Town, South Africa. He's seen the power of forgiveness at first hand, and he joins us by phone this morning. Good morning, Walter.
Hey, good morning, Chris.
Good to talk to you, especially about a subject as fraught as this, because I'm sure you understand the human impulse not to forgive, but what's the problem with that?
Well, the impulse, human impulse, is natural to not to forgive.
Yeah.
But I think that spiritually or morally, it is something that we really need to work towards. I don't want to say that we must do it, because that is too easy for me to say. I did not lose anyone in Charleston in my family. I feel a great loss as a human being, as a Christian, as an African-American.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't say you must forgive so-and-so for what they've done to you.
Right.
But if I have been grievously harmed, I know that for my own spirit, my own soul, as we believe as Christians,
mm-hmm.
that to try to forgive is the only way that we can go forward in life with some sense of wholeness. It is better if the person who's done wrong likewise has taken the responsibility to apologize, to try to make amends and even compensation or reparations for the harm done. But it is essential, as Archbishop Desmond Tutu would say, there is no future without forgiveness. Because if you don't forgive, and that doesn't mean you forget, but if you don't forgive, you are unable to let go of something that it can literally eat away at your psyche, your spirit, your soul, your mind, whatever you care to use as the term.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why... It amazes people. The Charleston example was one. The Amish community several years ago who forgave the man, and he killed himself as well in killing those children in an Amish school.
Mm-hmm.
But the families of the children who died forgave this man and said so to his own surviving family. So those are, or the South African example is another one. Those are examples of how the ability to forgive liberates us to live without something so powerful that can drag us into such despair.
Well, Walter, the South African example has been much on my mind, because it really seemed to me that Mandela, by forgiving his torturers and doing it on a national institutionalized level, right?
Yes.
By doing so, it's almost as if he was breaking a cycle that had been bedeviling Africa, bedeviling the world since the beginning.
Right, and that is exactly what they said. They wanted to go beyond the cycle of violence and harm, and then you do retribution and revenge, and then the cycle continues, because the party that experiences the, quote, retribution feels that they are being punished. So, that was the result of World War II, which came out of the retribution from World War I. And South Africa used this word, neither Nuremberg, relating to the Nuremberg trials of the Nazis, nor amnesia, which often in America, we have what I call a cheap forgiveness, or cheap grace, which is, oh, let's just forget about it, let bygones be bygones, and we refuse to do the hard work of apology, repentance, and forgiveness and working towards a better future.
Well, that's the whole sort of whatever thing, where you really aren't dealing with something. You're just sort of refusing to think about it. Let's move on.
Exactly. You're refusing to think about it.
And that's what we can't do. And you know, when you feel that impulse, Walter, when you feel that, you know, wrong, violence has been done to you, the first impulse that most people have is to be kind of flooded with evil in terms of, I'm going to do some harm to that person, right?
Exactly. And it eats at you, and you want to do it all the time. And it's risky business, man.
Well, you become your lesser self, it seems to me, Walter.
Exactly. This term avenge, you're trying to avenge something that happened to someone else or to yourself, it is tempting, and it may be naturally human, but at least those of us who talk about theology and matters sort of spirituality, that there is something beyond just the natural. Now, and theologians grapple with this question, though, by saying, are there certain things that are simply unforgivable?
Yeah.
And again, I can't volunteer to say, oh, if this were to happen, it would be unforgivable, or that were to happen, I could forgive it. I think that humanity must at least say, you know, like the Holocaust or what happened with apartheid in South Africa.
Sure.
These are horrible things, but then how do we get to the other side of living as human beings without this continual cycle of vengeance that can plague us?
Well, you know, Walter, maybe in a way, I'm thinking of the line, to forgive is divine, that you are, in a way, you have to sort of transcend the lesser impulses of your own humanity. You're kind of looking for the very best in yourself in spite of temptation to do otherwise, yeah?
Very true. There's a theologian in there, I think, Chris. Must be all those years of playing the blues. It is the better parts of ourselves are the ones who can, while acknowledging the wrongs that have been done and needing to make recompense of that, we also are able to say, I forgive because my well-being, my future is dependent upon that as well. So,
and that notion really transcends any one theological doctrine, any specific religious framework. Yeah, that's
exactly.
Just,
yeah, there are many faith traditions and even non-theistic traditions that have used these same concepts and ideas. It's a question for theologians, but also for philosophers, you know, and others.
Probably all of us, Walter. And I thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate getting the
chance. Thank you very much, and allow me to call in from our general convention in Salt Lake City. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you. The very Reverend Walter Brownridge is the Dean of the Cathedral of St. Andrew in Honolulu. He served congregations in Ohio, Delaware, New York City, and South Africa. In South Africa, he was a canon at St. George's Cathedral in Cape Town, the mother church of the Anglican community in Southern Africa. And before entering the seminary, Dean Brownridge practiced law for 10 years as a federal prosecutor in the area of public policy.